This is the Quality News Network. Iraqi leaders are asking the United Nations to extend the mandate for U.S. forces for one more year. Iraq says it'll be the last extension needed and may then again ask to end the extension early. U.S. troops would then stay beyond the current mandate of December 2008. The growing use of U.S.-backed neighborhood police units is being credited with a recent decline in violence. In Baghdad this morning, a mortar attack on an Iraqi prison complex killed at least 7 inmates. A conference call between political powers from around the world will be conducted tomorrow. The final text of a third resolution from the United Nations containing sanctions against Iran will be discussed. That's according to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. A vote on the matter is due sometime next week. In Bali, the head U.S. negotiator at the world's largest climate change conference says next year the White House will reveal its own plan for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. America and China, top polluters, will continue to impose mandatory caps by the year 2020. Former Vice President Al Gore picked up the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize in Stockholm, Sweden today. He won the award along with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for their collaborative work in establishing the science of climate change and what it may mean for humanity and the natural world. A deadly cold snap has frozen America's heartland, closing down highways and airport runways across parts of the Midwest. Widespread power outages are reported affecting as many as 600,000 people. As many as 10 people have been killed because of the storm. Investigators in Colorado are trying to determine whether two weekend shooting sprees at evangelical churches are related. 10 people were shot in Sunday's deadly attacks. 5 people died, including the gunman. Former media mogul Conrad Black sentenced to 6.5 years behind bars today. Black convicted of obstruction of justice and of defrauding shareholders at Hollinger International. Lewis Scooter Libby has dropped an appeal over his conviction on charges of obstruction of justice and lying to a grand jury. While the conviction still stands, Libby's prison sentence was commuted by President Bush, so Libby will not spend any time in jail. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Now this message.
Remember when the name on the door said it all? In today's world, it's the website that defines a company's image. For better or worse, a company's presence on the internet is a vital factor in how it keeps existing customers and attracts new clients. Byte Technology of Monterey is a leader in a new approach to web design. Byte designs a new site based on the mission, purpose, character, and indeed the energy of their clients. Byte is particularly successful in presenting their client's name to the global internet community because they approach the design with a clear, defined process. By fully understanding the client's business, motivation, and operation, they are able to translate the company's critical values into the new website. In addition to original design, Byte works with clients to update their website to reflect changes in target markets, products and services, and the business climate. Byte Technology. See what they're about at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
The launch of the space shuttle Atlantis has been postponed until next month. That's after a critical fuel gauge failed yesterday, again delaying the shuttle's takeoff. Switzerland's top bank announced it'll write down an additional $10 billion as a result of losses in the subprime mortgage crisis. UBS will also received $10 billion, though, from a Singapore investment firm to help offset that loss. Barclays Bank also announced a write-down today as a result of subprime difficulties. Barclays says it'll lose $408 million. Washington Mutual plans to raise $2.5 billion through a preferred stock offer. WaMu also announced it'll close its broker-dealer business and mortgage finance lending operation. Oil futures fell today. Several reports suggesting domestic demand for oil and gas is falling as OPEC is boosting production. And the Lundberg survey says the price of gasoline dropped about 9 cents a gallon over the past 3 weeks. The lowest price at the pump found in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the highest in San Francisco. Light sweet crude oil currently trading at $87.86 a barrel. And at today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 101 points to end at 13,727. The NASDAQ up 12 points. The S&P 500 up 11. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the
and
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
G'day, 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 everyone. How are you? Welcome aboard Foxed Up here. It's the end of another Horn Broadcasting Day. And, you know, I didn't really mean to leave Bob hanging out there to dry for the entirety of the Horn section there. Sorry, it's kind of a busy day today. And there. He just didn't see me. Oh, well. Anyway, mate, I think we got to talk about this fixation, or am I wrong? I think you've got a bit of a weird thing with this Huckabee guy. And I'm minorly concerned about it, because it's almost starting to border on an obsession. Wrong. I mean, is this guy that serious that he deserves this much attention? Or, you know, I mean, he's actually started making it into the Australian press recently, into the mainstream news, which has been a bit disturbing. Still never hear anything about, you know, Kucinich or anybody outside of, you know, Hillary or Obama. And all we've heard over here in the wonderful world of Australian broadcast quality news is about not Obama, but Oprah stumping for Obama. That was the big political... And I'm thinking, our democracy really is looked on as a circus by the rest of the world. That's what it looks like. Channel 10 is not going wrong. In some of the stuff about this guy, and I mean, he seems like a fully certifiable, you know, folk. Just checking on a couple of connection issues. We've been swapping some things around in this studio here, so hopefully things out in a minute. Oh. And so I wonder what's going on. Anyway, but you know, it really makes it look like the whole thing is just completely serious. And anyway, sorry, minorly distracting. It's sometimes it's a little odd when you're dealing with certain issues. Where am I? Okay. we're not really having a good time with the connection. Break and I'll reconnect and see if it gets any better. How about we do that? Because we're allowed. We're not stuck to affiliates. We can just go fix it. Hey, how very union of us. So, stick around. We're going to see if we can sort out this little bit of connection tweaky. Go away. We'll be right back here, boxed up on the Head On Radio Network.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Join us this Thursday, midnight Eastern, on Fox Stuff, where you'll hear a hot new Christmas anti-war song by one of the most successful artists of our time. But there's one hitch. He doesn't sing his own song. So tune in this Thursday, midnight Eastern, to Foxed Up for all the answers and to hear Christmas in Fallujah. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Uh-huh. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Nice. Oh, I didn't. I just, you know, where? How do you step on that? Anyway. So there's kind of like a couple monumental things about to happen. In a few short hours, our brand new Prime Minister, Mr. Kevin, I'm a nice guy, please kind of trust me to go and do the right thing, Rudd, is going to end up at the climate change conference, and he's going to be speaking in front of, you know, the whole body, and usher in a new era for Australia in regards to actually being plugged in with the majority of the world on finding a direction to go to try and take on what is going to be one of not just a generation, but a few generations' task of fundamentally changing the path of the world on which it's on. And it's going to be interesting. He's expected to have a fair, friendly, shall we say, very possibly, hero's welcome. Because, of course, this leaves the United States out in the lurch when it comes to being the only developed nation that hasn't signed on to this protocol. And I, you know, Bob was saying earlier, regardless of who's elected, nothing fundamental will change. And I'm a bit worried about that, because I think he's right. However, I still think that there's a chance to change that. And I think that how we move forward will fundamentally win or lose, dependent upon the involvement of the United States. And there's nothing perfect about the Kyoto that's gone by. However, it was the beginning of a new framework in which to come up with a way to pull things back. And I'm on my second round with reading the weathermakers from Australian of the Year, Tim Flannery. And I was reading it because I was running around doing a million things today. It's been a packed last few days. I've gone diving headfirst into Linux, but we'll save that for another time. Hey, interesting experience so far. You know, we're almost at the point where we're going to be able to start really finding a direction. You know, I'm all for independence and all that kind of stuff, but we have this fundamental issue that we all play a part on every, you know, on everyone else, that it has to cross some normal boundaries. Boundaries that normally are kind of okay. You know, all depending on how you see that kind of city-state thing. and so Kevin's going to, you know, I mean, here's Australia, this little country, right? Little itty-bitty country. And somehow, this little itty-bitty country is the highest, you know, producer of carbon per capita on the globe. And so that automatically makes us a major player. And also we have the world's largest, easy-to-get-at source of really awful, dirty brown coal, which gets sent off to China to be burned in, you know, for electricity to build crap goods that we overconsume all the time. But that's another rant. But this now leaves the United States just standing, like, way on the outside of all this. And there's going to be a whole... And see, this is where, seriously, the United States could be in big trouble. The U.S. could lose out completely on a whole new economy. And because they won't take part, will lose out on a new type of infrastructure. And also, by not signing on, we are set up at the moment to see. There was a report that came out of Australia just like in the last few days that said something up to 75% drop in crop yield by 2050 is a possibility. Now, when someone starts bringing up that lovely argument of, you know, but you're going to lose jobs, it's like, now which one's going to lose jobs? You know, do you see the consequence of this? So, the United States is going to, I think, going to be forced to, but who out there who's a front runner is ever going to sign on to an international, global anything is my fear. You know, unless, you know, the whole country just like went bonkers and went and voted for Kucinich, and I still like Kucinich. He's done a couple things lately that make me go, woohoo, what are you doing? I don't know how it is over there. Do they overplay the alien thing? Because we see a lot about it. When you see Kucinich, there's always the alien reference every time, which isn't really very often. But and on top of the fact that Kevin's doing that, what's actually being overshadowed, almost, but not really, but almost, and internationally it would probably being overlooked, is for the first time a woman will be acting Prime Minister of Australia, which I think is pretty cool. So Julia Gillard, sometime today, was doing the paperwork signing and all the ceremony nonsense, but that made her, because Kevin's off to Bali with, you know, like a whole entourage, which of course they're the same people that'll always just bitch about Rudd no matter what he does, and they're going, oh, you know, look at the carbon they're burning by flying so many people over. It's like, oh, you're missing the entire point. And you know, I've been amazed at how now that Rudd is engaged, and you don't hear anyone aside from just like punditry making kind of noise, trying to see if they can get any traction whatsoever, but it's just not getting the traction that they'd hoped for. And I think Rudd's pretty much got, you know, the thing laid out, you know, this is it, we're going to go in there, I speak Chinese, and look, I'm going to be a bridge. See, this is the brilliance of it. I'm going to be a bridge between between China and the environment thing. And so they're already engaged on it. From like the day after he took the oath, they started talking. And so maybe it's just that China needs to feel that they're properly represented in the region, because it'd be kind of crucial. And Australia and China's economies are so bloody linked together, especially with the coal trade is just insane. And part of Tim Flannery's book that I was reading today, you know, I guess there are certain areas of this country that, you know, because it's just so you know, underpopulated compared to most places in the world that are, you know, quote unquote civilized. You know, I'm just going to go nuts. Whoa. Oh, new Linux thing. My screen's disappearing. Yes. Isn't that interesting? Oh, there we go. I lost the chat room. Sorry, kids. New gear setup. Can drive you crazy. Just a moment. There we go. That's much better. Now I can communicate with the studio. It's the fun of doing internet radio. You're not. It total adventures in computing. Okay, there's something to check out, John. I guess I haven't stopped playing with it long enough for it to do what it just did, which was very pretty too. You should have seen the whole display just kind of went down like almost like a toilet drain kind of thing and disappeared. And I went, oh, goodbye. That's classic. That's absolutely classic. So, yeah, it's actually been a good experience, but there we learn. Okay, John, when you're on a roll, just tap the mouse once in a while. At least for now. And in amongst not just doing that, because of... It's amazing, a chain of events that one thing can do. Actually went out and just kind of like added a piece of gear to the rig here, and that made kind of like a whole bunch of other changes kind of have to take place. And so for the past, I don't know, 2 weeks, the studio, almost every show, I have just gone, had the cabling ready, gone, ding, 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 rehooked in, connect, and go. And it's been, like, somewhat different almost every night. So, sorry if there's been any weirdnesses, but we try to keep them to a bare minimum. It's almost done. It's almost settled down. But this computer thing has been an interesting learning curve. And I'll tell you, there's something very satisfying about seeing something that is open source code. People can edit and add to it and add to the project, and it's all the idea for the common good. And it's rocking. Okay, I'm on a thing called, I guess they call it SUSE3, S-U-S-E-3, or no, 10.3. And I went through Ubuntu, which was really good, and Fedora, which is really good, but I got to tell you, this thing is just schmick-ass. Not really hard to install, and if you've hesitated about getting away from, you know, one of the, you know, pay-fors for every computer you've got, if you've got a spare PC laying around, and just go and find, even right now, I think there's a few versions you can get in, you know, the bloody, you know, free CDs on computer magazines, $10, you throw it in. And by the time it's done installing, you're on the net, you're doing the email, you're doing the chat thingy, you can play in, you can record, you can actually get inside your gear even more than you could on a Windows machine without really kind of taking huge risk. But really robust. And it boots up so fast. It's unbelievable the difference. And this computer, just to let you in on a little inside baseball, just the couple weeks ago decided I don't like XP anymore. It's like it became allergic to it. It was bizarre. It got to the point where I actually tried to do a fresh install, and on a fairly not very old, hardly ever used XP copy, said, I can't copy all these really important batch files. It'll never work right. And I said to myself, what are the options? So, started off with that Ubuntu, which was good. It was kind of fun, kind of nice. But I tell you, the SUSE thing's pretty cool. So, you know, and it's free. It even has internet telephony. Yeah, it's really cool. So, anyway, let's take a break, Bob. I've been going for half an hour here. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Really, really kind of just a freewheeling rant evening because I've been in Adventures in Computing in studio. It's been fun. So stick around. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can grab off our website over at progressive.org. Today is International Human Rights Day, and it's a sad day for America. A sad day because George Bush has so tarnished the reputation of this country, which is one of the prime movers behind the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. A sad day because it comes within the week of the disclosure that the CIA destroyed tapes of its torturing detainees. But let's not kid ourselves here or engage in nostalgia. There were no good old days of the CIA, at least not when it comes to honoring human rights. Long before the reign of Bush and Cheney, the CIA was teaching and practicing torture all over the world, from Brazil to Argentina to El Salvador and Guatemala and all the way over to Vietnam and the Philippines. But what is shocking about the Bush-Cheney junta is just how brazen they are. They go up to Capitol Hill and plead for the leeway to engage in what Cheney delicately calls advanced interrogation techniques. They go into the Supreme Court and argue that non-citizens and citizens alike have no habeas corpus rights and can be detained indefinitely. And Bush goes on TV to say that he's spied on Americans without warrants and that he's held detainees in secret prisons around the world. All these acts are an offense to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which we're supposed to be celebrating today. May the time come, and may it come soon, when America can actually celebrate this day without being a hypocrite. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Round up the usual suspects.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. He's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here, on the Horn, Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shears.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play as time goes by.
Let's go.
Yeah, I guess that all right, that goes out to Julia Gillard, I think. Yeah. that's a riot. During the break, I guess this is in reference to me getting rid of Windows and being really happy, kind of free and clear on the new wonderful world of Linux, which I think has really developed to a point of being a pretty neat alternative. He says something about bidding farewell to a monkey that just stopped by my window. but I mean, it's I'll keep you posted on how it goes. I'm not going to get into the fine fun world of getting the next level of hardware installations working, like really flash sound cards. But I'm told it can be done. So anyway, should be interesting. So I know there's a couple of Linux users out there. I see them on the website going through the stats. But anyway, I'm going to bring Bob on. Hey, Bob, come here.
Yeah, boss?
Yeah, boss. Because I was going to ask you about this, and I was kind of actually hoping to bounce off of it into my show anyway, but I'm seeing really weird snippets. Now, you know, there's a pretty good little Australian contingent that listens to this show.
Right.
And now, you got this thing about Huckabee. I'm telling you, man, there's moments where I really start to worry about your heart. All right?
Or my sanity. That, I mean, that's open for question, too.
I mean, this guy, I'm seeing, it just looks really, like, bizarre. It fits in, the way it's reported down here, it fits in between the cheap, soapy local and the cheap, soapy national and international programs advertising for one another and their hair products. It's really weird this time around. And is it that weird over there at the moment? Because it looks bad.
Mitt Romney, I think, Willard Romney, in his quieter moments, would tell you that he is contemplating strangling himself with his magic underwear. Because if he loses, see, everything, none of this would matter, John, if we had any sort of sane nominating process, you know, the primaries. But the fact of the matter is, Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina will, in large part, select the presidential nominees for us. If any of those states had a reasonably large cosmopolitan population, I wouldn't be having this hissy.
Okay. Now, here's something that I think most people over here wouldn't understand. Why is it that certain states like that, so early on, if they all have their own caucuses and, you know, primaries, roddy, roddy, rah, why is it that these couple of states seem to set the tone?
It's partly a popular and historical mythology. You know, Bill Clinton's candidacy was salvaged in 1992 by virtue of his having come in second in New Hampshire. That's what qualified him as the comeback kid. Paul Tsongas beat him. Nobody remembers Paul Tsongas anymore.
It's true.
But they set. It's largely been a function of individual state party politics as to when these primaries went down. But a lot of the bigger states have begun to be jealous of that. And that started a few years back with what was called Super Tuesday. States banded together in order to try to dilute, if you will, the effect of the Iowas and New Hampshires and South Carolinas. Well, that wasn't enough. Okay. So
this all comes down to leveraging.
Yeah. And, well, and states wanting to actually have a say in picking a presidential nominee. I mean, if you're a Democrat in Florida, or for that matter, a Democrat in Michigan, or this Democrat in West Virginia, you get a little burnt. By, I mean, I got friends in Iowa. I'm sure I would if I knew any, have friends in New Hampshire. Maybe we've got listeners there. I mean, no disrespect. South Carolina, that's another story. No, we've got listeners in South Carolina, too. But I don't get to vote in a primary until May. At that point in time, it's done. It's over. Okay? Everything's decided. It's an entirely symbolic vote.
Okay, because you know, this is something that you don't have to deal with at all in a system like we have here.
No, it's a parliamentary system, and you run as a member of your party, and if you win, you win, and if you lose, you lose.
Yeah, and so, you know, this sounds like go ahead.
Well, you know, if you grow up pouring whiskey on your cornflakes, and the rest of the world looks at you, hey, you put whiskey on your cornflakes? Well, doesn't everybody? It all this stuff sounds perfectly natural coming out of my mouth, John, but it's utterly insane if you're looking at it from the outside in. Because what the primaries are, and what people who live in parliamentary systems may not fully comprehend, the primary is not an election per se. It's a nominating process. It is a popular vote to nominate your party's nominees who will go on the general election slate in November.
Okay. Now, the other part of America that I see that I find really disturbing that seems to be, you know, part of the export in the media packages that comes out is, you remember, you know, in like Fahrenheit 451, there was like the telescreen, and it was like this bizarrely kind of, you know, interactive yet completely bullshit kind of surreal thing that went on, you know, people even got to interact with it, and that was all a farce anyway. And, you know, I see like the stuff from like The View with that woman, you know, thinking that there was no one before Christians, and I'm just like, you know, I want to bang my head into the fucking table, and I'm
that's okay,
my
table does that too, and I want to bang my head into it.
And I'm just going, oh man. And then this was one of the most surreal moments. My head wanted to explode. Was Ellen DeGeneres, the picket line bustin' woman,
yeah,
is making it over here for having had one of the Bush kids on, and she called daddy.
Oh yeah, that was big here too. You know what one of the best things we could do for the world would be, John? And it would have to be on a very limited basis, but we need an international compact that would agree that where the civilized world would agree to be barraged with 1 week of American television. None of their, you know, no intelligent BBC programming, no Television France, no Italian television, no ABC for you. You just get a week of American television. And then you step back and go, oh, we get it now. You're screwed. I understand completely. You people are thick.
Well,
you know, I mean,
it has started to border on the bizarre. And every time, even on our normal news here, at least the most normal news that I watch, the pictures that they have when they show for, you know, Bush speaking somewhere, the frames that they've picked all make him look like either a really snide, nasty, bratty little turd.
Kind of hard to avoid it when it's in you and it's in the situation, John. I mean, you know, there's not a lot of pictures that don't make him look like one of those.
Or that evil forced grin, that smirk.
That one?
Yeah, and then they just play a clip of him, and again, I it's like nails. There's times where Gail just say, shut it off, please.
Well,
shut
and see,
off.
John, that's the thing. That's why I said, you know, 1 week of American television. Because if you just get a clip of George doing that crap, then if you're living in a civilized country, you tend to go, what the hell's going on over there? What are these people thinking? But then if you get a rock solid week of what we put up with coming out of our telescreen, then you look and you go, oh, wow, okay, no wonder. And you know, your Australian audience is having a hard time coming to grips with the fact that nobody here likes to vote. And it's true. You know, we deliberate and see, I think some of this goes back to the white slave owner mentality and whatever. But we like to have our elections at the time when it's almost guaranteed that it will be a miserable time to go to the polls.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Why we do it when we do it is really kind of dumb. And you know,
but there are better ways. I mean, for instance, you know, this whole conversation started with the primary system. And again, I like Iowans, I like New Hampshireans, I like some South Carolinians. But they don't have any God-given right to choose my nominee for me in the primary system. You know, everybody votes on the same day in the general election, but the primary system has developed somehow differently. So that if you recall, you know, Iowa put the nails in Howard Dean's coffin, more or less. Because, you know, if he didn't come out, because this it's the horse race mentality and the media contribute to it in a large degree. But I can see a situation, well, for those who are basketball fans or NFL or baseball or whatever, do you guys have a draft for players in Australian rugby or football or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They
the worst team will get the first pick.
Yeah.
I envision a lottery system, whereby four states in the union, would be chosen at random to have the first primary on a set day. After that, you'd have 10 states the following week. So that's at 14, and over the course of a month or 2 months even, you winnow it down till everybody's had their primary. And the next time you go around, you do the lottery all over again. You don't have any sort of rotating system, so nobody can plan for it. It has to be dealt with on an impromptu basis. And if you get California 2 years in a row, well, that's just California's dumb luck. If you get Maine 2 years in a row, it's the same thing.
Whoa. Why do you even have to do that? Why can't a system be devised where the primaries are done on a national level? Why can't it be done all on the same day? You have the infrastructure up, and you do them at a scheduled time.
Because the theory is that because these are nominating processes, that you have to give the candidates a chance to get to their given states, because they're testing how viable their not only their message but how viable their campaign machine is. So you let them in easy, and you let them do four states, and theoretically it would take some of the filthy money out too, at least on the way I think about it. And this is my own little private pet theory. This hasn't been floated with anybody else. I've never seen anybody come up with this idea. But the other thing that needs to happen, John, is that we need to end this stupidity. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be mean to you. I know you're a registered independent. But this business of open primaries in the South, where if you're a Republican and you really hate and you think you can beat Democrat B but not Democrat A, you go and you vote in the Democratic primary for Democrat B. But do you see what I'm saying? Because you're trying to pick their field for your own ends. You know, you pick your best, we'll pick our best, and they'll go head-to-head. You got to end that kind of stuff. And frankly, if you're a registered independent, that says that you are not interested in belonging to a political party. And as such, you kind of have no business picking the political party's nominee, because you've said you want no part of it.
Fair enough. I mean, you know,
That's why being an independent never made any sense to me. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait around for the Republicans and Democrats to pick theirs. I'm going to find a side I want to fight for.
No. See, I think like my motivation for being independent is the fact that at the moment, under a couple of key issues, both parties fail my acid test.
I understand that.
So I can't say to sign on with either, because either both of them are doing things in my name, would then be doing things in my name that I couldn't support that are on their platform. So full stop at the moment. And I would like to see, I mean, I probably could almost go and register with the Greens or the Democrats, which I have considered both when the time came. And the Democrats and the Greens are almost identical, but there's a few issues that they represent me more. But they got they've gone through an era of rough change.
Yeah, and the American Greens are in a position where basically they just want to sit in the corner and bitch. They don't want to lead. I mean, that's the kind of people that they've had, you know, in their program thus far. So, you know, I believe in, if you see something that needs changing, I believe in changing it. And you can't change it from the outside.
Okay. And this is kind of the thing though. What has been realized here, I do think has been realized here, is that it's the Greens that brought this issue forward. But it is now so much larger an issue that here the Labor Party so far in all their talk and now gaining intent are, you know, planning to put in motion and try and figure out, because it's so huge, it has become part of their platform. So they've almost, without officially declaring it, taken on basically the Greens' platform.
And any party political structure is going to have some of that, John. You're going to the dominant parties are going to co-opt the ideas of the lesser parties.
Oh, and it's fine, but the Greens are still a body, and they're supposed to be looking at this. It's considered so important that it needs representation on its own, you know. So and the Greens had a huge part of, I've said it, you know, time and again, in putting the Rudd government into office. They had a huge chunk in so many areas.
And that see, that's the nice, but that's the nice thing. You have a system of government there that accommodates that kind of thinking. So somebody can be a Green and still feel like they've got some voice in the government. That's not what we have here.
I know.
And frankly,
it's one of the two fundamental flaws.
I mean, there's no mention of political parties in the Constitution. It's just how it shook out. But as it did shake out, people made certain, as the Constitution was amended from time to time, that the two-party system is what would obtain. I mean, there was no constitutional amendment to say that the Whigs went away and the Republicans became the second party. There's nothing cast in stone that says, you know, that if the Democrats die out, that it couldn't be the Socialists, or, you know, I mean, I'm just pulling one out
right.
of the air. But but what will always happen in the American system, John, is that whatever the rising third party is that replaces the second party disappears. It does not become a third party. This is a two-party system, barring constitutional revision and amendment.
I so totally understand that. And this is where I get really upset with things like, you know, constitutional amendments, you know, against gay marriage, when I think that there are a few, after 200 years, constitutional questions that I think need addressing in the modern day. That is not one of them.
Well, but I mean, it's interesting though. But it seems to be something that shakes out politically in most systems. I mean, going back to the ancient Greeks, pre-democracy, there were and into the Athenian democracy, there were the Alcmaeonids and the Pisistratids, and they were headed by two powerful families. You come forward in time, and you wind up with the royalists and the republicans in the Spanish Civil War. England, you had for the biggest part of the time, you had Tories and oh God, what were the others? See, that's where it's failing me. But it seems, you know, people tend to gravitate into two camps. It's only when you build a system that recognizes the viability and the need for representation of people who refuse those camps that you begin that you can give meaningfulness to a green or a socialist or a social democrat or what, and you can have 19 dozen parties on the slate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, and it's,
you know, I would give
it's one of the,
go ahead.
I just think that it, for all the forethought that, you know, those guys had, there's a couple of things that through our twists of human nature have found holes in.
Well, they were hoping we would rise above that human nature. They,
I know.
Every last one of them started out, whether it be Hamilton or Madison or Adams or Jefferson or Washington, all of them were saying, we don't want any political parties. We're all working together here. You know, this is a revolutionary government. We're going to work for the revolution. You know, where have we heard that before? But that degenerated in rather of a hurry. And you wind up with what we have today, sad to say. And, you know, on my end of it, because of the, I mean, you know where my heart lies. I would give anything if the Greens would quit jacking off and get in the Democratic Party and drive it to the center and drive it to the left after that. Because they're not doing any good where they are right now.
I agree. But in the chat room, Lonnie's saying, you know, problem is, John, that when you have a constitutional convention, all the nuts come out. And my response to that is, mate, is every once in a while you need to have those really hard conversations. And somewhere in the depth of the people, in amongst people that were once thought to be nuts, are bits of genius. And every once in a while, you gotta go looking deep. And I think that this is one of those things. The democracy has been so hijacked, it's just so broken.
Can you imagine? I just want to ask you, John, and I'll shut up and let you close. Can you imagine a constitutional convention, and you know how highly motivated the religion industry right wing is, and you know how hard it is on our side, you know, it's the old I do not belong to an organized political party, I'm a Democrat, Will Rogers line, or the old line, you know, organizing Democrats is like herding cats across a parking lot or pushing a wheelbarrow full of frogs. Can you imagine what would happen at a constitutional convention? You would not be able to swing a dead cat without hitting some fundamentalist saying, this is a nation founded upon God, and we need to put it into constipation. Yeah. But to answer your initial question, there's plenty to worry about with my brother Mike Huckabee. Plenty.
Mr. Huckstervy, it's just...
That's Reverend Brother Mike Huckstervy.
The images... The images that just creates in one's mind are just frightening. But he just looks so ordinary.
Nuts.
Yeah, but he's nuts. And then he opens his mouth. But anyway, man, thanks for that.
Oh, that was a blast. We kind of made up for the horn section babble. So that's kinda...
Yeah. No worries, man. And so thanks for that. And I'm just going to close up saying thanks to Bob for producing. Thanks to the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. Thanks to Scott Berry and B1 Ladder Productions here in Australia. And thanks to you. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be as yours are.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
If ever I would stop.
This is the Quality News Network. Iraqi leaders are asking the United Nations to extend the mandate for U.S. forces for one more year. Iraq says it'll be the last extension needed and may then again ask to end the extension early. U.S. troops would then stay beyond the current mandate of December 2008. The growing use of U.S.-backed neighborhood police units is being credited with a recent decline in violence. In Baghdad this morning, a mortar attack on an Iraqi prison complex killed at least seven inmates. A conference call between political powers from around the world will be conducted tomorrow. The final text of a third resolution from the United Nations containing sanctions against Iran will be discussed. That's according to Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. A vote on the matter is due sometime next week. In Bali, the head U.S. negotiator at the world's largest climate change conference says next year the White House will reveal its own plan for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. America and China, top polluters, will continue to impose mandatory caps by the year 2020. Former Vice President Al Gore picked up the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize in Stockholm, Sweden today. He won the award along with the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for their collaborative work in establishing the science of climate change and what it may mean for humanity and the natural world. A deadly cold snap has frozen America's heartland, closing down highways and airport runways across parts of the Midwest. Widespread power outages are reported affecting as many as 600,000 people. As many as 10 people have been killed because of the storm. Investigators in Colorado are trying to determine whether two weekend shooting sprees at evangelical churches are related. 10 people were shot in Sunday's deadly attacks. 5 people died, including the gunman. Former media mogul Conrad Black sentenced to 6.5 years behind bars today. Black convicted of obstruction of justice and of defrauding shareholders at Hollinger International. Lewis Scooter Libby has dropped an appeal over his conviction on charges of obstruction of justice and lying to a grand jury. While the conviction still stands, Libby's prison sentence was commuted by President Bush, so Libby will not spend any time in jail. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Now this message.
Remember when the name on the door said it all? In today's world, it's the website that defines a company's image. For better or worse, a company's presence on the internet is a vital factor in how it keeps existing customers and attracts new clients. Byte Technology of Monterey is a leader in a new approach to web design. Byte designs a new site based on the mission, purpose, character, and indeed the energy of their clients. Byte is particularly successful in presenting their client's name to the global internet community because they approach the design with a clear, defined process. By fully understanding the client's business, motivation, and operation, they are able to translate the company's critical values into the new website. In addition to original design, Byte works with clients to update their website to reflect changes in target markets, products and services, and the business climate. Byte Technology. See what they're about at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
The launch of the space shuttle Atlantis has been postponed until next month. That's after a critical fuel gauge failed yesterday, again delaying the shuttle's takeoff. Switzerland's top bank announced it'll write down an additional $10 billion as a result of losses in the subprime mortgage crisis. UBS will also received $10 billion, though, from a Singapore investment firm to help offset that loss. Barclays Bank also announced a write-down today as a result of subprime difficulties. Barclays says it'll lose $408 million. Washington Mutual plans to raise $2.5 billion through a preferred stock offer. WaMu also announced it'll close its broker-dealer business and mortgage finance lending operation. Oil futures fell today. Several reports suggesting domestic demand for oil and gas is falling as OPEC is boosting production. And the Lundberg survey says the price of gasoline dropped about 9 cents a gallon over the past 3 weeks. The lowest price at the pump found in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the highest in San Francisco. Light sweet crude oil currently trading at $87.86 a barrel. And at today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 101 points to end at 13,727. The NASDAQ up 12 points. The S&P 500 up 11. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. It is still more than a year until the next president is inaugurated on January 20th in 2009. And yet the Iowa caucuses for the 2008 elections are around the corner. A month and a day from today, on January 3rd, 2008, the earliest ever in American history, people will go in Iowa, or at least a select number of activists will go to the polls in Iowa and choose their candidates. New Hampshire quickly follows on January 8th. The process is extraordinarily early this year, and we're going to have some time at the end of the broadcast to talk about the leapfrog and what kind of primary system we should have in America. But first, I want to talk about the actual candidates running. My guest today is Mike Lane. He's the president of Intellifent Strategies. It's his job to provide intelligence to the Republican Party, and I am a former congressional attorney for the Democrats. So we have different parties, but we may have similar views on the political candidates. Mike, let's start with the Democrats. The media, it seems, has anointed Hillary Clinton. They have said, based on polls, not based on bias necessarily, but based on polls, it's her race to lose, and before the first poll is closed, she's going to win this race. We'll talk about who can win and who can't win a little bit later on. Let's deal with the policies of Hillary Clinton and the other frontrunners. I think you would agree that Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Edwards are the frontrunners, and maybe we'd include Richardson as well. They're the only four that have any possibility of doing well in the race.
I think the top three. I think Governor Richardson is probably running for vice president at this point.
He's already an also
running. Lightning could strike, but it's unlikely.
Okay, so it's between then Obama, Edwards, and Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the latest polls I've seen in Iowa show almost a neck-and-neck race, the three candidates.
Almost a dead heat. Let me start off right away with a slightly different point of view about, you know, who has started the inevitability thing of Senator Clinton. And I don't think that was necessarily the media that started that. I think they jumped on the bandwagon. It was the Clinton campaign itself that started promoting the idea of the inevitability of Senator Clinton's nomination. It's
a very good smart thing to do.
It's a very good strategy if you win the first two, because then you run the table from there and there's no stopping you. But if you lose that first one, all of a sudden the whole inevitability thing goes away, and it's like, well, what happened? I thought this was inevitable, and she lost. And then she'll be fighting down in New Hampshire to, you know, see if she can get back on track. But we'll come back to that. I think the three, Obama, Clinton, and Edwards, are the ones to watch here. In Iowa, as you point out, the latest polls, and everybody's polling Iowa almost every day now, have them grouped within 5 percentage points, you know, anywhere between 23 and 28 on each other. The last two polls have Obama up by 4, and then I think he dropped down to up by 3 today in one that was put out. So it's a real horse race in Iowa.
Okay, but you know, as I do, that first of all, Iowa is very unrepresentative of the Iowa population. These are caucuses. These aren't primaries. When people talk about Iowa, I don't think a lot of times they realize it isn't like all the Iowa voters get out there and vote. You have to go to these caucuses. You have to sit in a room for 2+ hours.
Mm-hmm.
If your candidate doesn't get a certain threshold, you got to stand in line for some other candidate. I mean, this is more for party activists than ordinary Iowa voters.
It's only party activists, and that's where Senator Edwards actually comes in with a very strong advantage, because almost 100% of his support is demonstrated previous history of voting participating in caucuses. As you point out, they're very, very difficult. It's not like you go down to your local polling place. You have to know exactly which of your neighbors is having this caucus in their living room. You have to have...
It'll be easier today with email.
You have to have the nerve to get up on a cold January night and go to this caucus.
In every precinct in Iowa, too.
In every precinct in Iowa, right.
Little farm towns everywhere across the landscape.
As you pointed out, there's a second place rule. You need to, in the first ballot, you need to be able to get to 15% of the vote for your caucus goers to have a say. If you don't get to 15% of the vote, and with eight candidates out there, it's likely that there will be a lot that don't get to 15% of the vote, then they have to go realign themselves with their second choice, and so that will throw out, even though you're polling now at anywhere between 23 and 28 for the front runners, eventually the